Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. Today's topic will be on healthcare reform updates for November 2019. So, Shelley, we have lots of activity at the end of this year. I'd like to talk about a few items that our employer groups should be aware of as we look forward to 2020. Let's start off with employer reporting. Now, employer reporting has been in place since 2015. Can you update us on the 2019 reporting?
Well, the first thing I want to make sure that everybody knows is that employer reporting has not gone away. With the 2019 year, because of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the president eliminated the individual mandate. However, the reporting for employers still exists. So we are coming up on the time when you need to complete this reporting. And just as a review, this is the 1095C that goes to all employees. It must get to them by the end of January, the same time as your W-2. And then the employer follows that up with the 1094C, and they include copies of all of the 1095Cs. And those need to be in the hands of the IRS by the end of February if you are filing on paper, or by the end of March if you are filing electronically. I also want to remind everyone that because of level funded or self-funding for small groups that is much more popular, those small employers also have to do reporting. They will use the 1095B and the 1094B to do that reporting. Now, there has been some concern that we haven't seen the forms yet for the 2019 year. Wednesday of this week, we got the draft instructions, but we still have not seen the draft forms for the 1095s and the 1094s. Based on what I'm seeing in the instructions, it looks like the forms will be the same that they have been in the past, so that's a positive thing. As soon as those forms are all available, we will make sure that we get them out to you so that you can simply click on the link and be able to do that reporting. And one other thing I want to remind people is that the individual mandate may be gone at the federal level, but now it exists at some state levels. So our neighboring state of New Jersey, you are required to have insurance coverage for all of 2019. Employers will be required to send in a copy of the 1095 and 1094C forms to New Jersey. This will also apply to California, the District of Columbia, and Massachusetts. And there may be specific forms that you need to send in. I'm talking mostly about Massachusetts, but you need to follow the instructions for every state that has the individual mandate. And of course, this will be expanding next year. There will be more states that will have the individual mandate reporting.
Now, California has special notice requirements for 2019. Can you go over that for us?
California came out with something that applies for FSAs, flexible spending accounts, and it requires an employer to notify an employee in two different methods that they have money left over in their FSA, because all of us are familiar with FSAs and the use it or lose it type provision. Now, of course, there is carryover and there is a grace period, but California passed a law to make sure that employers are letting employees know how much money they have left in their account, and they can make that notification in the following ways: electronic, by telephone, by text message, sending something via the U.S. mail, and in person. So just want to remind everyone that's in California that you need to abide by this rule starting January 1 of 2020. So that will mean that anybody that has leftover funds in 2019 will need to be notified.
New Jersey passed a pre-tax commuter benefit earlier this year. Can you explain what New Jersey employers need to do?
Yes, so New Jersey did pass a commuter benefit, and it requires employers to at least find out if their employees need help with parking as well as commuting transportation, often by train or bus. There is a federal opportunity out there for employees to put pre-tax dollars away. In 2019, it was $265, and the New Jersey rule says you need to make an additional amount available for parking, because a lot of times if you're taking the train, you also have to park your car to take the train, so they are allowing this. It applies to employers with 20 or more employees, and this is regardless of where the employees are. So for those people that have businesses right on the line of New Jersey and could employ some people from Pennsylvania or New York or Delaware or Maryland, as soon as you get to 20, you need to make sure that you are abiding by this rule. Now, enforcement is set to begin March 1st of 2020. Employers can set up these benefits right now, and that enforcement date may change because we're looking for some additional rules and regulations from New Jersey that have yet to come out. So stay tuned for more on that, and as soon as we get those updates, we will be sure to pass them on in the form of bulletins so everybody is aware.
Now, there is a lot of pending legislation now in Congress. Can you review items that directly impact employers?
Well, yes, I think there's some things that we've been talking about pretty much since the beginning of the ACA, and it's hard to believe that we are fast approaching the 10-year birthday of the ACA. It was passed on March 23rd of 2010, so we're almost there. It still seems like it's a new law, and we've been living with changes, and we will continue to face more changes. But some of those that are still being discussed and that are impacting all of the employers, the HIT tax is one. This is the health insurer tax or fee, and it is on insurers, and it's based on the percentage of business that they have on the exchange or marketplace. So I can't give you a specific percentage amount that would apply in the insurance premium if you are fully insured, but know that there is some increase. It does apply to this year's premium. I'm guessing somewhere between 3 to 5% that most of you will have. There has been a big movement in Congress this year to get rid of the HIT tax, but so far nothing has been passed. Along with that, there's also been conversation about the Cadillac tax, and the Cadillac tax is a tax on employers that offer a rich benefit to their employees. The amounts that I'm going to give you were set back in 2010 and have not been changed in the 10 years that the law has been in place. It's expected that if the Cadillac tax does actually become effective, and currently that effective date will be 2022, January 1 of 2022. So we're discussing it because it's not all that far away, and employers may need to plan about what they need to do with their benefits. But those amounts are $10,200 for a single person, $27,500 for a family. It's expected that they will be increased because of inflation, but we don't know what that amount is yet. There was a vote taken in the House earlier this year, and it was a near unanimous passage to get rid of the Cadillac tax. The bill moved on to the Senate, and it has not yet been discussed, taken up, or voted on by the Senate. So we hope that it happens sometime soon. But we are nearing the end of the calendar year, which means it's the end of Congress's session, and not sure whether or not the Cadillac tax will be included. We also need to briefly mention the Texas lawsuit on the Affordable Care Act, and that was back to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act when the individual mandate was eliminated. And they said, well, if you're going to eliminate the individual mandate, then the rest of the ACA truly doesn't stand on its own, and let's just let the whole law crumble. So the Texas judge said, I agree, but he did not make his decision binding. It was heard by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in July of this year, and they have yet to release their decision about whether or not the rest of the Affordable Care Act can stand without the individual mandate. So every week we get information saying we're going to get the notice now, we're going to get it now, but it has not yet happened. If they agree with the Texas judge, then this will probably move to the Supreme Court. So as we get more info on that, we'll be sure to let you know. And wellness benefits. The programs that most employers have are kind of in limbo right now. The Affordable Care Act items on wellness, specifically about smoker surcharge, tobacco use surcharge, are still standing, but all of the rest of the wellness regulations were vacated in 2019. That means there is no rule on wellness right now. We expected that we would have new laws, rules, regulations, things that we should follow sometime in the late summer, early fall. We've not seen that yet. So again, as soon as those rules and regulations come out, we will let everybody know. But if you're thinking about designing a new wellness benefits program for your employees, this is probably not a good time to be doing that.
Transparency in healthcare has been an ongoing topic in Congress. Would you please tell us what has recently been agreed on and how will it impact hospitals, patients, and insurers?
Yeah, transparency has been in the news an awful lot lately, and I think we're going to continue to see a lot more of that. You know, there's always been the, let's make the employees have a higher deductible so that they have skin in the game, that they are looking out and finding the proper doctor and hospital and doing the right thing. But of course, if you're a patient and you're looking for that information, it's very difficult to do. So President Trump has been trying to do a lot of different things to make all of this more transparent. So what we recently have, and it was done just this week, it is going to force hospitals to disclose what someone is going to pay. And by disclosing, it will be the amount that they agreed to with that carrier in negotiations. So whoever your insurance carrier is and the type of operation or diagnostic thing you're going to have at the hospital will need to disclose that amount. Also, insurers are going to have to disclose the negotiated rates, and this will be for both individual and group insurances. It will give enrollees real-time personalized access to any cost-sharing information. It is set to take effect now in 2021. So all of these new rules and things that were recently proposed, you have until January 14th to make comment on them. And then we will see some additional regulations. And the regulation will be set to take effect 1 year after it's actually passed. So they'll collect the comments, they'll come out with the rule, and the effective date will be 1 year after that rule. So sometime in 21, all of what I just discussed will become effective.
We are nearing the end of the year with limited time to pass legislation. What bills are being discussed that have a chance to move the session?
There's a couple things here that have been talked about an awful lot. They are items that are very much supported by all of us who are constituents, who vote for those people who represent us in Congress. It's things that impact us in our pockets and in what we have to spend, and that would be drug pricing and also surprise medical bills. So Nancy Pelosi has come out with a drug spending bill, and there has been a lot of movement and discussion about that in the House, and we're hoping in some ways that that does pass. There is much more conversation about it right now. There are some good things and some bad things to the drug pricing, but I know all of us would like to see some additional help in the high costs of drugs and drugs that go up seemingly for no reason. So those are some of the items that are discussed in these different types of legislation related to drug pricing. And the other one that we all hope moves very soon is talking about surprise medical bills. And we've heard many, many, many cases of this where somebody goes to have a surgery, they've chosen the hospital that's in their network, the doctor that's in their network, but when they have their surgery complete and they are discharged, they find that there was an anesthesiologist or a radiologist or a pathologist that was not in the network. And as a person who's trying to do what we can to keep the bills down, we're still being stuck with these outrageous amounts that some of these non-participating providers are charging. And it's been a real challenge at congressional level about the types of bills. California has something in place that's been working for them. New Jersey has a different type of thing in place that's been working for them. Both the House and the Senate have bills that are in committee waiting to come out to the floor to be voted on, but time is running out. We have probably less than 2 weeks of session days that are left before we get to Christmas time and the end of the year. So we'll see if anything happens in a big bill that combines a whole lot of these things into one, or if this gets kicked forward and we continue debate in another year.
Thank you, everyone, for listening in. I also would like to make the following disclaimer before we end. This podcast is designed to highlight various employer benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Thank you, Shelley, and we hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, then please contact your account manager or salesperson. Thank you.